live and local,
across the city
and South Cambridgeshire.
This is Alex Elbrook.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Local historian Anthony Carpen is back with us today. Hello, Anthony. How are you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. A bit hot.
Hot and sticky.
And today we're going to be hearing about a book you've just received from 120 years ago. What's all that about?
It is. It's one of those random finds on eBay. And this is actually more of a yearbook diary. And it says compiled by the town clerk. The town clerk of Cambridge Borough Council used to be the most influential man in the city, or one of them. And his post was effectively that of the chief executive of Cambridge City Council, of which Antoinette Jackson was recently the holder of that post. An incredible multifunctional post where you're covering absolutely everything. And what this does is it provides just an incredible insight into, I guess, how the town functioned and what things the individuals that ran the town, both councillors, officials and civic society figures, kind of had to be aware of as they went about their day-to-day business. It's a tiny little thing that's about the size of the palm of my hand, so you can get an idea of just how tiny it is, but it's just jam-packed full of info. I mean, it's a local historian's dream in a way, because in kind of a single snapshot, it's right, okay, this is what we were dealing with.
Roughly how many pages is it then? And is it very, very tiny writing?
It's very tiny writing. It's about 155 pages.
Wow.
It was beautifully bound in, I guess, with fern-like designs on the outside, but in the colours of Louis Vuitton, the fashion label. Exquisitely presented, with all of the pages having and basically embossed with gold on the outside. So you don't actually see the paper, you just see this golden sheen on the front, which you sometimes see on publications of that era. And inevitably, obviously, some of the places that are mentioned are no longer with us, having fallen to the demolition war.
Of course. So how often were these publications done? Was it like yearly?
It looks like it, because it says yearbook for the year 1901, but I've not seen one like this before. And like I said, it's one of those things that comes up. And I guess what's really interesting from the perspective of a local historian, and anyone who's interested in the history of Cambridge, the town, is the town clerk will have had to have made a judgment call as to what was important or essential information for, you know, the politicians and the businessmen, because it was men, as we'll find out, of the era.
So what sort of thing was in this then?
Well, if we look at it going from the start, the first thing that strikes you is it's kind of, when you get beyond the the calendar for the year 1901 and 1902, is the importance of the post office. And so the first thing that you have is all of the information to do with how to communicate. And what's really striking here is, as soon as you get into it, in terms of, you've got the prices of postal orders, sending parcels, sending letters, because this is all about communication. You then get into things like international post, penny postage to India, the British colonies and protectorates, and all of these long-lost places the British once colonised. It basically says, you know, if you want to send the under-mentioned British possessions and protectorates, it's now 1 pence per half ounce instead of 2.5 pence as hitherto. And then it goes and lists, you know, British Central Africa, British East Africa, British Guyana, British North Borneo, British Honduras. You then have money orders to continental Europe, the statement saying money may now be sent by telegraph money order to Belgium, Germany, Holland, Austria, Hungary, Luxembourg, Norway, Romania and Switzerland. So with all of those being at the front, what does that tell you about Cambridge as a place in 1901 if this is seen as the essential information?
So I'm guessing that, like it is now, it was a very multicultural society in Cambridge, that people were getting to all of these places.
Certainly you had people trading, and a couple of the stores made a very big deal of mainly importing goods from all over the world, commodities, but also in terms of continental Europe. It turns out that toys from Germany were a very popular item. You also then have the hours of business and the times and places of collections, but you also had, and this is something I absolutely love, is the individual post offices where you could also send and receive telegrams. So for a social media age, it's a bit like, you know, you'd go to your post office to send some tweets and, you know, pick up some tweets and then go back home again. And the following day you go back to the post office, you know, I guess have your arguments that way. Interesting, when we look at the ones that had telegraph offices, you have ones on Cherry Hinton Road, Mill Road and Hills Road in the south and centre of the city. In the city centre and to the west, you had Newnham and you also had Trinity Street as well.
It's interesting to see what were the important places that they wanted to have these places then, isn't it? It shows that those were still quite prominent places then, 120 years ago.
Yes, well, when we look at Hills Road, which was having the, you know, the much maligned ribbon development going along down, it was ribbon development of very, very large houses in particular, so you can imagine that would have been an interest to some people. Cherry Hinton Road, again, we had the Rock Estate that was being built at the time. So this was one of the areas that would have been on the edge of town at the time. And we find, as we move later into the yearbook, we find a list of taxi fares and cab fares. But this was when the cabs were horse and trap. Horse and cart, certainly wasn't motorised at that time, and we still had the horse-drawn trams in the city. And it's just this wonderful table of, basically says, you know, if you pick up a regulated cab from the edge of town, again, Cherry Hinton Road, you can look across the row that says Cherry Hinton Road, and you can see in all of the columns how much it will cost for, you know, the city centre, the railway station, to Chesterton, to King's College Chapel, to Great St Mary's, and I said, most of them seem to be about a shilling a time. Yes. So certainly not necessarily something you'd want to spend lots of money on if you were on a low wage.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So similar to now, except like you say, they're horse-drawn cabs instead of who we have in the city now.
The one thing that for me tells a very interesting story about how the town was run is their calendar, their memoranda for 1901. And the town clerk has clearly been very, very organised for the year in that he has gone and planned out all of the meetings for all of the committees of the council and related organisations for the whole of that calendar year. Now, today we can go online and have a look. When I look at the memoranda and a list for, let's take January 1901 and see what it comes up with. Well, you've got this thing called the Cambridge County Quarter Session. So this was effectively Cambridge Crown Court. And it says on Friday, the 4th of January, the Cambridge County Quarter Sessions will hear what effectively are the most serious court cases that happen every quarter at 10:30. You've then got later on that month on the 14th, the Watch Committee. Now, the Watch Committee was the committee of councillors that oversaw the work of the chief constable and of the police officers of the borough. And they had much more powers and control than the present setup allows for councillors to do, and so they were much more embedded. You had, just over 10 days later, the school attendance committee. So mm-hmm. In those days, the councillors were also responsible for all of the elementary schools, because in those days, secondary schools were still in their infancy. A few days later, you have the lunatic asylum visitors, which is what they call Fulbourn Hospital. And so this is where the councillors responsible for people who were being treated for mental health problems, amongst other things, would go and visit Fulbourn Hospital, amongst other places. You also had, moving into February, you had the Library Committee, and I guess most important of all, the day after each other, the Public Health Committee, relevant to today, and the Sewage Disposal Committee. Today, all things to do with water and sewage, that's all been privatised, but in those days, it all came under the oversight of the local, what we now call the City Council.
Yeah, absolutely, and that shows how things have changed. And we've run out of time now, Anthony, but before we go, what would you be doing with this book, because it's such a rare thing?
That's actually a very good question. I mean, there are a number of options that I've got. Either undertake to scan the whole thing, which is actually what I probably will end up doing, but for things like this, what I often do is I actually take them along to the Cambridgeshire collection and deposit them there, mm-hmm. because this enables people to actually see the original document themselves. You know, they can have a click online and say, oh, that's what it looks like. But actually to be able to go into an archive and actually see what the real thing is. It also means, I guess, from a personal perspective, I'm not going to lose it.
Or yes.
taken from me. It's in competent hands.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you very much, Anthony. That sounds absolutely fascinating. And what a find for you to get this week as well. And we'll speak to you next month.
Yes. Cambridge 105 Radio.